Would you turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1? Matthew's Gospel 1. We're going to look at the Christmas story this morning, one particular aspect of it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, let's begin reading with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow, we're just going to stop there today. What a powerful passage of Scripture and a good reminder at this time of the year to look again at the Christmas story. Here we have a carpenter named Joseph who's excited about his new fiance. And if you notice, it says Joseph, her husband, because engagement at that time was as binding as a marriage, and you had to get a divorce to break the engagement even. Joseph did not buy the story that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. No virgin gets pregnant without relations. And he didn't believe Mary. I mean, there's a lot going on that we're not going to talk about, but it was not an easy time, and Joseph was considering divorcing her quietly, so he knew she was pregnant out of wedlock. And then that angel appears to him and said, that which is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. That fulfilled a prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 7 that Isaiah gave 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years. How many want God to work tomorrow and answer our prayers? God works in sometimes in days, sometimes in months, sometimes in years. Sometimes he works in centuries. Prayers that we have, things that he said, are going to be fulfilled a century down the line or centuries. God fulfilled his promise 700 years after it was given. And we have the record of it here. Praise God for that. Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, the fullness of deity dwelled within Jesus bodily. As Christians, we believe that Jesus was Almighty God incarnate. There is no other religion in the world, no other belief system in the world that holds that Jesus was indeed God incarnate except Christianity. That's what it says here. And by the way, too, turn with me. You can hold your finger here in this passage, but turn with me to 1 John. This is the first letter of John to the Christians. And John was talking about the fullness of God dwelling in Jesus when he wrote this letter to Christians. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he begins his letter like this, talking about Almighty God who had no beginning and has no end. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. In other words, he says, we saw Almighty God incarnate. We held him. We touched him. The eternal life that was with the Father. The Bible says in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. And John says, we saw it. We testified to it. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I mean, they could not keep quiet once they had walked with Jesus, saw what he had done, heard his teachings, knew he was Almighty God incarnate. They had to tell people so that our joy would be complete. And here we are today. The wonder of Christmas. If you read the little daily devotional, Our Daily Bread, this morning, there was a powerful story in there. In 1929, in the Saturday Evening Post, there was an interview with Albert Einstein. And here's what he said, quote, "As a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and in the Talmud. I am a Jew. But I am enthralled with the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." The words of Albert Einstein in simply reading through the Gospels. Jesus. "His name shall be called Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins." And John goes on in his letter to say this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him," this is very important, because Jesus came and his name was Emmanuel, God with us. Well, isn't God with everybody? If God was with everybody all the time, then why would the Bible say Jesus came? Now God is with us. See, it's a very important distinction here as we look at the Christmas story. John says God is not with everybody. He said, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So, God is not with everybody. There's a separation that comes because of our sin between us and God. And the reason why this is important, because I get this a lot as a pastor. "Pastor Doug, isn't God with everybody?" Well, God gives life to every human being. Paul said in Acts 17, "In him we live and move and have our being." God's sunshine rises every morning on good and evil, the Bible says, and he sends his rain and moisture on the just as well as the unjust. He gives warmth by the sun. He gives water by rain and snow on those who love him and on those who hate him, because God is a merciful God. And there's this common grace on everyone. But is God with everybody all the time in what they're doing? The Bible indicates and clarifies this. And as we say here oftentimes, what I say really means nothing. What God said means everything. My opinion is just like your opinion. We all have opinions. Our opinions really mean nothing. God's opinion means everything. So in the Word of God, we find out what the truth is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read in verse 11. And he's talking to Christians here. And he says, "Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh." There are only two groups of people in the Bible. There are no races in the Bible. There's no black, brown, yellow, red, green, blue, or anything like that in the Bible. There's only two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. That's it. And we all have a common ancestry. We can all be traced back to Adam and Eve. Everybody know that? Okay, that's common knowledge here. All right. "Therefore, remember, at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Huh, that is very interesting. People outside of God's people are without God. So when Jesus came and his name was Emmanuel, God with us, that was powerful and significant, because God is not with everybody. In Isaiah 59, it says, "Your sins, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God and keeps him from hearing our prayers. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53. We've turned everyone to his own way, not to God's way. People want to think God is with everybody. Regardless of what we're doing, God is with us. But the Bible indicates he is not with everybody. Years ago, some of you know this story, but when we lived in Aurora, I was down there one fall and aerating my lawn. And when I was doing that, my neighbor from across the street came over, another neighbor came over, and then my next door neighbor, Matt, came over. We were all talking out there, and the conversation turned to the Lord. We were talking about the Lord. And Matt, my next door neighbor, says, "Yeah, Doug," he says, "God's with everybody, isn't he? I'm so glad." And when he said that, this verse came to me, an odd verse, maybe for the conversation. But I said, "Matt, you know what God's word says? It says that if a man continues to be stubborn after many rebukes, one day he'll be broken beyond all repair before God." And Matt looked at me and said, "The Bible doesn't say that." I said, "Proverbs 29, verse 1 says that." Well, that poured cold water on the conversation. I mean, everybody, that was it for the conversation. Everybody goes, "Well, Doug, we got to go." And neighbors went, Matt went home, everybody left. I'm there by myself again, aerating my lawn. A couple of weeks later, I get a knock at the door at night. And who's at my door but my neighbor, Matt? It was about 2 weeks later. And he's crying. I said, "Matt, what is it?" He goes, "Doug, I got to talk to you right now." I said, "Come on in." We sat on the couch. I said, "What's going on here?" He says, "Doug, remember 2 weeks ago we were out on your front lawn and you shared with me that God is not with everybody and that I can be broken beyond all repair. I didn't believe you." He said, "I went into my house. I went up to the attic. I pulled out an old Bible. I looked it up." He says, "It's there. It's there, Doug." I said, "I know it's there." He says, "I have not been able to sleep. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Will you pray with me?" And there on my couch, he gave his life to the Lord. He had a revelation because God's word is life. Jesus said, "The flesh is of no avail. It is the spirit that gives life. My word is spirit and life," Jesus said. Well, Matt gave his life to the Lord. His wife came to Christ. His children came to Christ. They started coming to church. Because I knew that afternoon when I said that to him, he was strung out on pot. He wasn't doing good. His family wasn't doing good. And when we moved up here last, I heard he's a detective with the Aurora Police Department and doing great with God. Jesus came to bring life. But we have to understand what that name means, God with us. God with us. Who's God with? Well, understand the word with, okay? With means to be on the side of. That's what the word literally means, to be on the side of. Is God on everybody's side? No. He's not on everybody's side because there is a right and there is a wrong. God is on the side of right. In fact, he's on his side. He's not on my side, your side. God is on his side. How do we know that? Again, what does God's word say? Here's Joshua. Joshua is going towards Jericho. God is going to bring them into Canaan land. And Joshua sees a man and he stops him, and Joshua does not know that this is what we call a theophany in the Bible, an appearance of God in the Old Testament, manifestation. And Joshua sees what he thinks is a man, and Joshua says, "Hey, who are you? Are you on our side or their side?" And the man says, "Neither. Take off your sandals, Joshua. You're standing on holy ground." Whew. God is not on my side or your side. He's on his side. And Jesus came, God with us, to make a way for us to be right with God, to come into his side, because we don't have him out in the world. God is with his people. When God created the nation of Israel, God said, "I will be with you." And God was with that nation. He was with Abraham. He was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes. They were not always with him, and there were times when God was against them. Judges chapter 2. When the children of Israel worshipped idols, God turned against them and did not cause them to prosper, did not cause them to be satisfied. How many of us want to be on the wrong side? I don't want to be on the wrong side. I was for years of my life and did not know it before Christianity. But God tells the children of Israel in Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." It is an awesome wonder to know that God is with us. This morning at the first service, Hal Simmons shared a very interesting statistic. You know how many times "fear not" comes up in the Bible? 365. Which means One a day. You can say, I'm not going to fear today anything. 365 times. Because we tend to fear in our life. God is with his people. Here you have illustration after illustration in the Old Testament. Here you have Isaac. Isaac's married to Rebekah. They don't have anything. They got a tent. And they are living there. And God says, go down to Egypt and travel all around the coast and all around that land. Because I'm going to give it to you one day. And there was a great famine in the land. People couldn't find food. It was a terrible time. So Isaac and Rebekah, they go down there. They sojourn in Egypt. And they go up into Philistia. And there is a king by the name of Abimelech of the Philistines there. Abimelech is watching this guy, Isaac. And he's noticing that, man, this guy is doing real well in our country. In fact, he's doing better than anybody else. Who is this guy? He's prospering, his children and his money and his wealth. And Abimelech came to Isaac and said, Isaac, you're too powerful. You're more powerful than our people. You need to move on. Abimelech had to tell him to move on because God was not with the Philistines. He was with Isaac. In fact, that's what he said. Isaac, go to this land, for I will be with you and I will bless you. All Isaac had to do was be obedient to the Lord. Do what God told him to do, just like us. You have another man, Moses, in the Bible. And God comes to Moses when Moses is 80 years old. How many know there's no retirement in the Bible? And he's just catching rays on the backside of Midian, watching the sheep. And God comes to him and says, Moses, I've called you to deliver my people from Egypt. And Moses says, you got to be kidding me. How's that going to happen? And what does God say? Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. See, when God is with us, there is no situation too great that should cause us fear or anxiety or despair or hopelessness. We're talking about the God of the universe, all right? We're talking about Almighty God who spoke everything into existence. We're talking about the universe of which our galaxy is just a little bitty speck. And our world is a little bitty speck in our galaxy. We're talking about Almighty God. If we can grasp that every day, there is no situation that's going to cause us despair. And Moses heard God say, I'm going to deliver my people. Now, we know from the Bible that there were 500,000 men that came out of Egypt when God delivered them from the Egyptians. God was not with the Egyptians. He was with Moses and his people. And the Egyptians didn't know that. They thought they knew God. They worshipped Nile alligators and Ra, the god of the sun. They worshipped all kinds of things. But they were not God. There's only one true God. How do we know that? Again, doesn't matter what we think. What does God's word say? John 17. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So that's how we know that to be true. 500,000 men. When you count their wives and their children, and the Israelites had more than 1.7 children like Americans. They had probably 3, 4, 5, 6 children. That's why we get our number between 1.5 million and 2 million people that were coming out of Egypt. You know how many people that is? That is the population of the metropolitan area of Denver, Colorado. That's how many people. That's a lot of people. And God, by his power, delivered all of them. Not only delivered them, but fed them in the wilderness. And watered, gave them water and food for 40 years. And then brought them into Canaan land and destroyed all the kings of the Canaanites. And gave them that land. Why? Because God was with them. You have another situation. Little shepherd boy named David. And David hears that the Philistines want to war against Israel. So he goes out there and he realizes that there's a defiant warrior among the Philistines by the name of Goliath. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Shaquille O'Neal would be dwarfed by Goliath. He would seem small. Not everybody knows who Shaq is, but he's a big guy. Okay, Goliath was a mighty man. And David went against Goliath with no weapons but a slingshot and a few rocks. Why would David do that? Because David knew something. God was with him and he was not with Goliath. God is not with Goliath. He was with David. David said, you come to me with spirit and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts whom you have defied, Goliath. You got a big problem here. And David defeated Goliath with one rock. Why? Because God was with him. Is there any situation too big in our life that we're facing that God cannot give victory over. No, there's nothing. As we listen to this morning, listen to God's word, what situation are you facing? We have a lot of people facing some very dire situations in this church. And maybe you are in your own life. Everybody, if you get to know anybody well enough, you'll realize we're all fighting a battle in some way. Family, job, marriage, finances, unexpected illness. There's always battles that come in, and some are very overwhelming to us. There are several people in our church just this last week, we've had people that have all of a sudden had unexpected trouble in their life that absolutely seems impossible to rectify. All of a sudden, you're just thrown into a realm of, uh-oh, what is going on? There are marriage crises going on right now. People are facing a lot of challenges. What makes the difference for the Christian? Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God's word says, all things work together for good. For a certain group of people, not for everybody. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. What an honor it is for us Christians to know that God is with us. There is no challenge. There is no heartache. There is no loss. There is no financial pressure, marital pressure, family pressure, physical pressure that can overwhelm us because God is with us. It changes everything. David knew that. He conquered Goliath. Here you have Elisha in the Bible. Elisha is facing an overwhelming situation. Not many people in Israel at that time were with God. God was not with them, but he was with Elisha because the people had turned away to idols. But Elisha was a man of God. In 2 Kings 6, it says that the king of Assyria was attacking Judah, but he could not attack them or set ambushes because every time he set an ambush, God would speak to Elisha. Elisha would go to the king, said, don't go down that road, there's an ambush. Don't go over here in this field, there's an ambush. And he got away from the Assyrians time and time again. So the Assyrian king gathers all of his commanders together, and he says, which one is the mole here? Who's the double agent? Who is leaking the information? Who's the WikiLeaker? They said, none of us. None of us. But there's this guy over there that He tells the king what you say in your bedroom. He knows everything. And the king says, go get him. So the king doesn't send just a little squadron. The Bible says he sends a great army with chariots down there to arrest one guy, Elisha. And so Elisha has a good night's sleep, wakes up in the morning. His servant goes out to get water. And here are all the soldiers and chariots of Assyria around them. You can imagine what the servant did. Ah! And he runs back in. And he says, what are we going to do? And Elisha looks out there, and this is how I think it might have happened. This is just me. Puts his arm around his servant and says, Lord, open his eyes. Just open his eyes. And God opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the chariots of God all over and around the army of Assyria. And Elisha says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them, because God was with him. All he said was, Lord, strike him with blindness. The whole army was struck with blindness, and Elijah led him right into Israel's camp. I mean, when God is with us, there is no overwhelming situation that we cannot face with peace and even with joy because he's with us. Another very important passage is found in 2 Chronicles with a king named Asa. King Asa was a good king. He started off good in Judah, and as he decided to rid Judah of all the idolatry, he went after it with all of his heart. And just as happens, whenever someone is fully committed to the Lord and decides to follow Jesus, the enemy attacks. Okay? If someone is just playing around with Christianity and they're just a church attender and they're not doing anything, they're not involved in the kingdom, they're not involved in ministry, Satan is not going to attack them. He's already got them. As we say here, Satan is never too busy that he doesn't rock the cradle of a sleeping Christian. That's what he loves to do. But someone who's on fire for the Lord and they're going to get involved in the work of the kingdom, they're going to get attacked. So here's Asa, and what happens right in the middle of him doing so well? The Ethiopians attack him. You know how many are in their army? 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots. 1 million. That's half the size of Denver, Colorado. That's a lot of soldiers. And they're coming at him, and he knows he cannot fight them, cannot win physically. So what does he do? He says, Lord God Almighty, he cries out to God. Because he knew something. God was with him. He said, Lord, you're the only one that helps the weak against the strong. Let them not prevail against you. And he saw it as a spiritual war, and God conquered the Ethiopians. And when Asa had tasted the tremendous, miraculous victory over them, a prophet came to him. The prophet's name was Azariah. And I put in your notes what Azariah told him. Azariah says, hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Well, that's very interesting. I've never seen that on a refrigerator magnet from the Bible bookstore. Because that is kind of unsettling sometimes. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Wow. So that's a powerful passage of scripture. So how many want to be with God? You know, and for some people say, well, that's Old Testament. Look at the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 4. Written to Christians. You know what James says? It says, Christians, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Whoa. Who wants to be an enemy of God? That would be dumb, knowing what we know. Why would we want to be a friend of the world? Why would we want to cater to the world? Why would we want to compromise what we know is true for the world? Why would we want to ever be ashamed of that wonderful name of Jesus to the world? Why would we want to court their approval? Because then we pit ourselves against God. When God is with us, he is displaying his glory, his splendor through our lives. He's working miraculously in our lives. He's answering prayers. He's working out his plan for good. How many know God's plan for us is good? His plan is to lead us into an abundant place. Jesus came that we might have life and have it what? Abundantly, right? That's what we have as Christians. Praise God. Why? Because God is with us. God is with his people. He's not with everybody. Oh, at times of funerals or at times of trauma in people's lives, as a pastor, they say, God is with all of us, isn't he? And you know, everybody wants to believe that, but he's not. Even as a Christian who turns their back on God, they keep going to church and they keep listening and worship, but they're involved in sexual immorality or they're involved in theft or they're involved in other things in their life. You know, and they think God is still with them. He is not with them. God is on his side. We need to be with him. Emmanuel. See, that's when Jesus came. That word means that the world is not with God. They are without God. God came in the manifestation, manifest presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in order for us to understand that there is a way back to him, to be reconciled to him, so that then God is with us on our side. This is a distinction people don't think about oftentimes. This is the glory of Christmas. This is why as Christians celebrate the presence of God. There is no challenge in our life, no unexpected tribulation or adversity that we don't have the strength and the joy and the peace to walk through because of the presence of Almighty God in our lives. That's what we celebrate, and that's what people need to know. No, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, written to Christians, John says, little children, we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. So that's where people are outside of God, without God and having no hope in the world. That's why Christmas is such a special time, because it is a time when people they start to consider, what is this celebration all about? What is this celebration all about? You know, one thing I appreciate about President-elect Donald Trump, the other night when he was in Florida, he starts his message. He says, I want to first of all tell everybody, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So I'm watching the news after that, and the news is just going crazy. You know what? It's okay to say Merry Christmas now. I mean, the power of the future, he's not even president yet, but the power that that has, that you no longer have to be politically correct to say happy holidays. You can actually say Christmas, which is Christmas, Christ and Massey. Massey is a celebration of. Christmas is a celebration of Christ. That's what it is. Praise God for that. Jesus came, God with us, for two specific reasons. One, to make God known. Because people without God, they don't understand God. So that's what it says in John chapter 1. Jesus came to make God known, the one true God. This is how we know who he is. Jesus came to make him known. How do we know that Jesus was true? Because of his resurrection from the dead. All religions were started by somebody. Every religion in the world was started by a person. But none of them had power over death. Jesus said, that you might know that I am who I am, Almighty God, I will rise from the dead. He said that several times before he did. So we know that's true because we know he is true as Christians. So he came to make God known. God has put within every person, it says in Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in the heart of man. Every person that is born has a sense that there is something more than this life. Some kind of purpose, some kind of meaning, and they're on the hunt for that. Maybe it's success, maybe it's more money, maybe it's prestige. That's how I can have meaning in my life. Maybe it's whatever it might be, hunting for that. But it also says, yet God did not put it within man the ability to find out what that is. Cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11. And when Jesus came, this is why Jesus saw people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have any direction because they were without God. And Jesus had compassion on them. We should have compassion on those outside of Christianity because one time we were outside of Christianity. How many of us remember when we were without God with no hope? God had mercy on us, mercy on me. So Jesus came to make God known. People are on the hunt for some kind of spiritual experience. Some people say, maybe it's in religion. I know people just study all the religions of the world thinking one of them might be right, or maybe each of them has a little bit of the truth, so they develop an eclectic kind of theology. Everyone has a theology. Everyone has what they believe is an understanding of God. And they're on the hunt to verify that. Some think, well, maybe they'll believe in pantheism. Well, maybe God is in everything. Maybe it's not a religion. Maybe he's in everything. He's in the plants and he's in the trees and he's in the bugs and he's in the animals and he's in the man. So I'm going to worship the environment, which is environmentalism. I'm going to worship the environment. Yeah, we need to take care of our environment, but there's a worship of the environment. Maybe that's where God is. People come to Grand County. Oh, I feel so close to God when I'm up on Byers Peak, searching for that. Some say, well, it's not even there. You know, it's in us. They will look for a spiritual experience. It's not an organized religion or anything else. It's within me. So if I just meditate, get into my inner self, I'll find God there. That's New Age thought. Find a place to meditate. Yeah, we're searching for answers. Jesus came to bring the truth about God. And he came to bring truth, period. It says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came to tell us the truth about God, the truth about life, the truth about everything. He is the truth. And there's a search for that in the hearts of people. What is true? What is true? Well, when you're without God, you don't believe that God's word is true. You don't believe in absolute truth, that there is some transcendent law that applies to everybody all the time in all nations and all cultures and all generations. We believe God's word is absolutely true. But when you're without God, you don't believe in absolute truth. So the only way to go is relativism. Truth is relative. It's situational. It's only what you feel is true for you at that time is what's true. That's the world of darkness. And so I don't know God. I'm without God, so I don't believe God created everything. So I believe we evolved. Okay, I believe evolution is true. And because evolution is true and we're just all products of evolution and we're no different than a bug or an animal, therefore, since my life, I feel my life is most important over everything else, so it's okay to terminate a child in the womb because they're just a product of evolution and my life is most important to me. And so I can get rid of whatever I want in my life. That's a conclusion you come to when you're without God. You're trying to find answers. There are no answers. Groping at that. I can redefine marriage. I don't believe in God. I'm without God. I don't believe God created marriage. I believe we're all products of evolution. And so marriage is whatever I define it to be. Me. I don't believe God created a male and female. I believe I was just evolution put me in the wrong body. And so I'm a different gender. See, absolute confusion and in the darkness. That's where the world is without God. That's why when Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, it made all the difference. Because now we can know the truth. And Jesus made a way to be with God. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will rain on your picnic and make your life miserable for the rest of your life." No, it doesn't say that. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He came to bring truth. And another thing that is true that sometimes we don't like to hear, but because God is not with everybody, Jesus said in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Well, you don't see that on any plaque in a Bible bookstore, because that gives us, that doesn't make us feel too good. The whole world is under the wrath of God. They're without God. Praise God. How many want to be thankful this Christmas that God delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and by his grace transferred us in the kingdom of his beloved Son in whom we have forgiveness. That's what God did. Now we live in the kingdom of God as Christians. And because God is with us, that changes everything for us. It's not those who believe in God. It's those who obey him. You can't have obedience. You can't have belief without obedience. The demons believe and they tremble, God's word says. You know my definition of the fear of the Lord? Understanding the seriousness of God. I believe personally the fear of the Lord is understanding the seriousness of God. He says what he means. He means what he says. He's got a life for us to live, and he will not bless our life apart from the truth of his word. That's why we grow as Christians in maturity, finding out what pleases God. The Bible says, learn what pleases him. Find out, seek the will of the Lord. What does he want in our life? As Christians, that's what we pursue, because there is no God beside him. That's where the life is. Turn to one more passage of scripture here. And this one here is so powerful. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We're going to close with this today. Paul is writing this to the Christians in Rome. And Romans chapter 8 is talking all about God's mercy, his predestination, his calling of his people, what he wants to do in their lives, how he's with them. And then it comes to Romans 8:31, and it says here, and this is so important for us as we approach this celebration of Christ this year. For us, for our homes, our children need to know this. We need to know this. We need to be reminded of this as we face all the different situations that we face. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us," for us all, he's talking to Christians, "how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is there to condemn?" So there, no one, Satan or anybody else, can't condemn Christians saying, "You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. You're guilty, guilty, guilty. God isn't pleased with you. You can never please God. You got to do all these things to get to him." No one can do that anymore, because Jesus has taken our condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, when Satan comes to me and you, but he comes to me and he just tries to beat me down. You know how he beats me down? "You are a lousy pastor. Look at all the people you're not calling. Look at that person over there. You know what's going on in them and you haven't visited them. You're lousy. How can anybody get anything out of what you say? You say sentences backwards, you dummy." Hey, he's got a lot of fodder with me. If he wants to criticize me, he just dumps on me and dumps on me. And you know what I do? This is what I do. I use that as a springboard of praise. I say, Satan, thank you for reminding me how worthless I am, but I belong to Jesus now. I have value. Yeah, I can't talk well. My thoughts sometimes are scattered, but I thank God that his power is made perfect in my weakness. Satan, thank you for reminding me of that. And I just use it as a springboard of praise. Because I am nothing apart from God. I am terrible apart from God. I am worthless apart from God. But in Christ, I have life and value and eternity. Use that as a springboard of praise because he'll try to come. Who is there to condemn us? Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God. Who indeed is interceding for us. God cares about every detail of our life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? Things in life distress us. But will that ever change God's presence with us? No. Or persecution? We know that hostility is growing against Christianity in our country and in the world. Hostility against Christians, not against religion, against Christians because Jesus is the one true God. Will persecution terminate God's presence with us? No. Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? Paul says, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to the slaughter. In other words, people want Christians out of here. It was happening then, it's happening today. We're just like sheep to the slaughter. They want to get rid of us. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, you know, at this time of the year, people have experienced death, death of loved ones. It's a very difficult time. There's not the joy that there's been in the past. But can God fill that void? Oh, yes. Death isn't going to separate us from his love or his presence or his working. All things are working together for good, for God's glory, and for his eternal purpose that goes far beyond our lives. There's a whole bigger plan that God has that we are a small part of. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers. There's no ruler, no laws that are going to separate us from God. Nor things present, nor things to come. We don't have to worry about the uncertainty of the future. There is nothing that's going to deter God from working through our lives because we serve Emmanuel. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we celebrate the wonder of Almighty God becoming man. God is with us. And Jesus showed the way for us to be with him. Jesus said, I am the way, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus made a powerful, powerful statement. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. You cannot come to God through any religion, any belief system. You cannot meditate enough. You can't hum mantras enough. There's no relationship, no religion that will ever bring us to God. No right doing, no turning over new leaves that will ever bring us to God. Only one way, through Jesus Christ, through believing that he alone was the Lamb of God who was slain for the forgiveness of sin. Our sin had to be removed. We couldn't remove it, so God removed it so that we could be with him for all eternity. Only one person rose from the dead. Only one person promises eternal life. That's Jesus, and that's what he gives us. Why? Because of Emmanuel. God's with us now. Our kids need to know that. They're going to be suffering and experiencing a lot of trials in their life. Another thing about God being with us is when we blow it, when we sin, he is there to forgive us. That relationship is intact and constantly restored through the love and the mercy of Almighty God. Is that good news or what? Anybody here never blow it? We all blow it. Maybe Samuel doesn't blow it, but most everybody does. Samuel and I will tell you, if you ever think we're perfect, talk to our wives. They'll set you straight on that. God is so good to us. Let's celebrate his presence in our life this year. Let's bow for prayer, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have given us, for coming, for emptying yourself of all the glory of heaven, taking on the form of a human. You were born in the likeness of men. Your word says that at the right exact time, you were born of a woman. Why you would ever do that is beyond what we can even comprehend. But you have a way, and it is perfect. Thank you for the life that we have in Christ. Thank you for all that we have in the kingdom of God. Thank you for your joy that fills our hearts. Lord, forgive us for times when we forget that. Forgive us for times when we meet unexpected trouble and we act the same way the world acts that doesn't have you. We get frustrated. We get fearful. We get depressed. We get discouraged. We despair. We forget that God is with us. Almighty God. And you're working your plan, your purpose, as only you can, and your ways are perfect. And you always have our best interests in mind. You are always loving and kind in everything that you do, even though at times it doesn't seem that way. We're just little children, just like our children, Lord, can't understand that sometimes when they don't get their way, it's our love for them. You're our Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Lord Jesus, you know every need in this room right now. Lord Jesus, if anyone has found themselves feeling condemned or discouraged, if anyone is despairing, if anyone feels like they're losing hope, may their hearts take courage today. May they understand the significance of the Lord God Almighty being with them. They have the power to handle anything. There is nothing impossible for the one who believes, Jesus said. There is nothing too difficult for the King of Glory to rectify, to heal. Oh God, we thank you for this. Let every heart take courage today. And we give you praise for these things. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message and they've never come to Christ, let this be the time of their eternity with you. Let them come to you, put their faith in you, embrace you as not only Savior of their life, but Lord of their life. Surrendering every part to you, because there is no God beside you. And if there's anybody in this room, I don't know everybody here, and you've never given your life to Christ, come and talk to me or one of the worship team here or someone you know. We will pray with you to give your life to Christ today, because that's who you need. Lord, we thank you for this today now, and we just worship you with this last song. We give you thanks for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.